Jamie Locker with you here in the Green Zone on a Wednesday afternoon where we remember today in CFL history.
Far and wide, oh Canada, we stand on guard for thee.
Here's a little backstory to Greg Bartholomew, a.k.a. Dennis Casey Parks. Did you know? I found out that I was doing some research today. He met his wife because of that. He was in Asia. He started performing in Asia. And there was a couple at the table next to him. And the guy was like, "Excuse me, sir. Are you the anthem guy?" And he's like, yes, I am. And then he's like, well, then they talked a little bit. And weird story. They offered to like tour him around. He was new, tour him around. So he called him on it. And that couple was like on a first date. So the girl did take him around and eventually married him.
She's a big fan of Christmas music, apparently.
But it was the guy who was like, "Hey, aren't you that guy?" Anyways, wild story. For CFL lore. I know someone who loves CFL lore stories is the voice of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, Derek Taylor, who joins us now for a preview of the Stamps and the Bombers. Derek, how was your Wednesday afternoon?
Pretty good. I'm just running data and walking down memory lane with the guy who, Christmas tree'd the anthem. If you ever had somebody who did not remember like the non-Baltimore part of the U.S. expansion, you could just play them that clip. This is what America thought of the CFL. Oh, that's not our anthem. Yeah, that's right. They didn't care.
Now, he did own it. He came back. He came to Canada and sang in Hamilton at a Tiger Cats game and then sang at a Blue Jays game like a couple of weeks later. And I believe we got a formal apology from Vice President Al Gore, for that performance. So
that's good. It's just
that wouldn't happen today.
It's what is it? Kerwin Bell spiking himself in the nards. Like, we'll just never forget certain moments.
Oh, I need to do some research on when that is in this day in sports history
and who he's married to now
for the Kerwin Bell story.
That poor lady. Yeah. Hey, aren't you the quarterback who hit himself in the nuts her entire life when she's out for dinner?
All right, DT, we got the Bombers and the Calgary Stampeders, but I think maybe even a bigger story, a more special story, is Milt Stegall will be back in Winnipeg. I imagine this will be an emotional night on Friday as he makes his return to the CFL after the tragic loss of his son.
Yeah, for sure. And Milt was talking to Paul Friesen of the Winnipeg Sun and said, "Hey, I actually had no idea that this week I was coming back, that I was going to be in Winnipeg, but like God just has a way of working things out, right? Like the panel for TSN is going to be here in Winnipeg, and yeah, it's going to be crazy because even if, fortunately, I hope most people listening have never been through anything like, you know, losing your son in his early 20s. But I think we can all kind of relate to what that would be like and go, oh, that would be awful, right? So the emotion, and then plus like, Milt might be as loved here as he was when he was putting up 23 touchdowns a season, right? Like, Milt's just one of those guys who we just love. And, you know, I suspect people in Saskatchewan even love Milt Stegall, even though he was a lifelong Winnipeg Blue Bomber. So it's so great that he feels he and Darlene and their other son are in a place where he can go back to work and do what he loves to do now. And, yeah, it's going to be great. I hope the Bombers have something special for him as well when the game rolls around.
So earlier, Jamie peeled the paint off the walls in a rant about Sean Lemon, who is being allowed back into the CFL after gambling issues and being reinstated after a year suspension. The longest CFL suspension.
Full disclosure, you're talking to a very, very astute gambler himself and Derek Taylor, so I don't know where he's... Well, he might disagree with my take.
Well, that's okay. Wouldn't be the first time someone disagreed with Jamie. I see the text line. Derek, your thoughts on the CFL and Stuart Johnston in particular letting him back into the league after he has to, the, you know, we have to mention that he's got a 2-game suspension for now a drug issue.
Yeah. Let me preface it with this. I never wanted Pete Rose to be in the Hall of Fame. I wanted what I said after he got suspended back in the 80s. I thought in my life, this isn't nice, and I apologize for this because I feel like I'm a super nice guy, but I wanted Pete Rose to never get in the Hall of Fame while he was alive, because you cannot bet on the sport on which you play. Well, I didn't bet on my team to lose. Jimmy crack corn, and I don't care. You can't do it, because there's other ways to affect it other than you can throw a game in, you know, that your team should win. Lemon, the CFL, it's not taking it as seriously as it should be. Mm-hmm. Right, gambling, and he says the report was it was a 2-game parlay in which he bet on Saskatchewan to also win, or pardon me, Calgary, who he's playing for, to also win. And I look at that and I go, I don't know if it was the only time he ever wagered on the CFL, just with some of the other details of it was a 70-euro wager. Really, you got on a euro website instead of one that does Canadian or U.S. dollars to make a wager? That was your first ever one on this? You must be doing some betting on elsewhere. And I that's what the CFL found. That's what they say. That's good. It's so fraught with trouble, mm-hmm, that they walk it back after a year. I guess it was always indefinite, guys, right? Is that right? It was always indefinite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now it's 2 games extra for the drug thing. To me, it's not taking it as seriously as it's going to be when, you know, one more year and Sean Lemon probably isn't ever thinking about playing football again. So I'm not in love with it. I'm not. If Jamie was peeling off the paint off the walls, he's probably way more passionate about it than I am. But it does not feel like they've taken it as seriously as I would have wanted them to.
You only got one thing, is the integrity of your sport, and Sean Lemon put that into question. Never again. You should never step on the field again. I think it's shameful they're letting them back on. But let's do preview the Stamps and the Bombers, these 2 1-loss teams. The Stamps got them a couple of weeks ago, but as I did some research, since Zach Collaros became the starting quarterback of the Bombers, they're 7. Derek, how badly do the Bombers want to get one back on the Calgary Stampeders from 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, that 17-0 stat, that's a for real. That includes 5 playoff games as well. When they have a bye week, they are ready to rip teams in half. And what we've seen, I talked about it in our pregame show on CGOB last time, was Vernon Adams, the last 3 years, his first game against the Bombers defense has been fantastic. You know, almost 400 yards in one game in a 30-6 win, or pardon me, almost 40 yards last time after a 36 win the year before. And this one was great, right? 200 plus and 2 touchdowns and no picks. But in the second and third games, the Bombers defense bites back. So while I kind of preface to the fans, hey, Vernon might be able to get to the Bombers this time, and he sort of did. It was 23 offensive points, so it wasn't the biggest thing ever, but it was a good performance all the way around from the offense. The Bombers defense knows how to respond to that, and that goes over a couple of coordinators in Jordan Younger and in Richie Hall before that. So, yeah, this is one where the Bombers defense is going to have some stuff that Calgary, I don't know if they're ready for, but they perhaps didn't see it on the first game 2 weeks ago. And yeah, you throw in the bye thing and you go, okay, well, that's literally 17 straight wins. Mike O'Shea didn't really want to talk about that. He would say, I never think about that. But to win anything 17 in a row, like if you're a 90-10 favorite, gambling talk, you're not going to win 17 in a row more than like 2% of the time. It's incredible what they've been able to do off of these bye weeks. And you add in the importance of, oh, hey, Calgary and Sask are, you know, even with us in the loss column, boy, we do need this win. And we're back at home, and it's an 8th straight sellout. There's a lot primed for the Bombers to have a much better performance than they did in Calgary.
So, and teams will say this, no, we're taking them seriously, but I get a sense that just based on what I witnessed on Saturday, the Riders did not take this Calgary Stampeders team seriously, and that's probably going to be a change for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers as well.
Yeah, they'll say the same thing, right? We take everybody seriously, but when they smack you around in their home stadium on brand new trophy day, you're definitely going to have a little extra when it comes to the next one, right? Like, I went into the season thinking Calgary is last place in the CFL. I did not think they were particularly good. I didn't like their free agency. I didn't like complete turnover on the defense, though, you know, Damon Webb, Derek Moncrief, I'm in favor of that. But it just, I didn't see it. I didn't see 4-1, and I didn't see smacking around the Bombers in week six. So, week five. So, yeah, I was caught off guard by them, but there's no way the Bombers will be caught off guard by them in this home game coming on Friday.
Is Biggie ready yet for the Stampeders?
I don't think so. Dave Dickinson had said that Big Hill would play in one of the three games against the Bombers. Bombers have Calgary, then a home and home with Toronto, and then Calgary on the other side of that. So I'd always kind of looked at that third game. But, yeah, oh, man, if Big Hill was able to come back here where he's going into the Ring of Honor one day, he's got to. That'd be amazing. But I don't believe it. Any reason to believe it's this game.
Yeah, Derek, we're
throwing a lot at you today. Week 7 is a Friday night home game for the Bombers, which means Luke Wilson will be in town. Thoughts on the conversation that he has been generating surrounding the CFL, Derek?
I like it. I'm fine with it. I'm trying to think if I met Luke in my time. I don't think I did, but I like it. Like he's clearly inflaming some folks. He's clearly trolling some other folks. He's making some comfortable people uncomfortable. I like it. And you know what? I respect when a guy with the knowledge that Luke Wilson would have will call out other players and be like, this is dumb. Why would you do this? This is insane. Because they're often so very nice to each other, right? And go, well, this you know, that's just a great play by the offense when a guy trips and falls flat on his face and lets a receiver run 77 yards down the field. You go, well, that's probably a bad play on the defense too, right? Just tell me – As a fan, I just want to know why I'm seeing what I'm seeing. So I love that part of what Luke's bringing to it. And I mean, he's drawing a lot of attention. Not always the best attention, you know. Always fans in Hamilton aren't loving that they're the 10th best fan base according to Luke Wilson. but he's drawing conversation. And then honestly, I'm at a stage. I don't know if you guys are there yet, but I'm at a stage where I'm too old to care some of the inflammatory stuff. Right? Like I'm 50. Whatever's going on social media, have at it. And if people like it, let's go. But in the meantime, here's my fantasy picks, and I think in-game Calgary was a great play against the Riders. Like whatever. Let's go.
Yeah. We're kind of in the same boat, Derek.
It's fun, right? Like, but I mean, let's not overlook the fact that like Luke Wilson has a real football pedigree, right? Like, played at Rice. I mean, was in the NFL for a long time, and he wasn't Tony Gonzalez catching passes, but he's a real football player. And when you watch some of his breakdowns, he did one on Brady Oliveira got hurt on his second carry of the season. He's like, hey, boop boop, look at this. This is incredible. Watch what this guy does, and they're like, "Oh, okay, well, Luke's really
I like his
really
breakdowns
going on." Yeah, he's got he knows what he's doing, and I love it. I love that Lapo does it. He's on our pregame show breaking stuff down for us. I just want to know more about this game that I love, and that a guy like Luke is opening it up for us to me. I love that part of it.
Well, Derek, always appreciate you taking the time. I know it could be a dandy in Winnipeg on a sold out crowd on Friday Night Football. Enjoy it.
Thank you, brother.
That is Derek Taylor, voice of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers on CJOB here on the Green Zone. I got the Bombers this week. I know all of Winnipeg is shocked that I actually picked the Bombers, but 17-0 after a bye week, Stamps on a short week going into Winnipeg. Book it! This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here on a Wednesday afternoon. A double take with Double D, Daryl Davis coming up on Major League Baseball. Why not? Why not bring in this swing off at the end of regular season games in Major League Baseball?
The one thing I will say is I don't like how many pitches they were able to take. There should be a limit. Like, that's to speed it up because that was frustrating. It was that one guy took like 8 pitches before he took a swing.
Well, Randy Arozarena was like, just throw. He's getting his cleats ready, and the guy's just throwing balls. He's like, yeah, just keep going. Yeah. I'm just going to stretch a little bit here. Keep them coming. Just keep them coming. That's great television.
It was an interesting finish to the Major League Baseball.
I did like it, though.
Not at, like, right after 9, but if it goes to inning 12 or something. Everybody loves a home run derby.
Hockey fans are now finalizing their winter schedules as the NHL has announced the full schedule for the 2025-2026 season. Of course, it begins October the 7th, a triple header with the Panthers putting up the banner against the Chicago Blackhawks. Pittsburgh Penguins welcome their former coach Mike Sullivan back as the head coach of the New York Rangers.
That didn't take long.
And you have the Colorado Avalanche against the LA Kings for the nightcap. Also, a lot of conversation about this man.
23 on two. Here's Marner. Scores!
Yes, one of the biggest off-season moves was the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Toronto boy, Mitch Marner, leaving to join the Vegas Golden Knights. So Toronto will play in Vegas on January the 15th, and then 8 days later, Mitch Marner will be at Scotiabank Arena in Toronto, and we're debating. And the fans are weighing in. What sort of reception do you believe and would you have if you're a Maple Leaf fan when Mitch Marner is back in Toronto January 23rd?
My last image of Marner barking at his players to wake up, being down 3-0 in game 7 was enough for me. I'm booing his butt. David from Regina. Booing. Fans, we're too upset to be polite. John G., lifelong Leafs fan. Mitch Marner is dead to me. I will boo him from the opening faceoff bill in Saskatoon. I'm a lifelong fan. I was 3 years old when the Leafs won in 1967. Don't do the math, liquor. I think he meant locker. I'm 61. You would be booing for sure, Dan in Saskatoon. Not the first time somebody's called me liquor. Most of the most of the texts that we got were all Marner, I'll boo him, like that.
Yeah, yeah, I would too.
But he, and listen, I'm booing, but I always default to that. So I was just curious if I would be alone. I mean, he was a divisive character, but when people leave, and or they move on.
Oh, they're going to do the nice vignette and the montage and an intermission break. And
everyone goes, well, maybe he wasn't that bad.
I'd sit down. I wouldn't. Everybody else standing up to you, I'd be like sitting there, harumph.
And there's going to be that guy, but generally people default to the nicer version of themselves when they're in public.
He left because he hated all you people. That's why he left. He left because he hated the fan base, and he hated the media, and he hated the attention, and he hated getting criticized when he deserved to get criticized.
I'm with you. And I'm glad to see that most of the fans are suggesting that they're going to boo him. It'll be interesting. I wonder. I want to tune in that night, January 23rd. The first game back in Toronto for old Mitch. And I want that whole building, every time he touches the puck, to be boo! But the team will do the right thing. They'll play a nice little 1-2 minute like tribute to Marner. And he'll do a little lap and he'll wipe a tear from his eye. And he'll do a little interview before or after the game where I still love Toronto.
I'm surprised that's not a Hockey Night in Canada game. That's a Friday night for the Golden Knights and the Toronto Maple Leafs.
It is funny, though, that as soon as we started talking about the NHL schedule coming out, it wasn't anything else. It was like, hey, when's Marner back in Toronto?
When's Marner coming? what's Marner? But there are other returns.
Yes.
Brad Marchand. Re-signing with the Florida Panthers, of course. He will be playing a game in Boston against the Bruins October 21st, so early on in the season. Jonathan Toews, he's making a return with the Winnipeg.
Back to Boston. This is a great comparison. So you got Marner, and the first thing we were talking about is whether or not fans are going to boo him when he goes back. And then the first thing I think about is, what's Marchand going to do when he goes back to Boston? Because they're totally different characters.
He helped win a cup in Boston.
Yes, and I know it's different, but he's a different personality. It'll be fun to see what he does, because he'll do something interesting. He's probably already thinking about it.
He'll get cheered. He'll get booed. Of course, it's Boston, but when they do the montage and everything, he didn't really leave Boston the same way Mitch Marner left Toronto.
Well,
that's for sure.
The fans in Boston are more upset at the management for losing Marchand than they are for him leaving to go to Florida. So that's the difference. But because he's such a character, I think he'll do something interesting. He's not going to miss out on an opportunity.
Because there's some other notes when you look at this schedule. Jonathan Toews, he's back in the NHL. His return to Chicago will be January 19th when the Jets go to the Chicago Blackhawks. I think it'll be interesting all season as Jonathan Toews plays in a barn, each barn, that I think hockey fans are excited to have him back and see that he's healthy and ready to go, and hopefully it holds up that long.
I love this story.
It is a great story.
Well, and you know what? I've done quite a bit of research on what it is he went through, and again, by no stretch am I an expert in the medical stuff that he underwent, but I am very intrigued by. I have a feeling, Jamie, and I'm close to putting something on the board about Jonathan Toews, but I think he's going to have a huge impact for the Jets next year.
And if you had a question at all, if this is the final season for this man.
Here is Ovechkin, shoots, he scores! He scores! Number 895!
Isn't it telling?
The schedule, yeah.
That his final home game in Washington will be against Sidney Crosby and the Pittsburgh Penguins. That's Washington's final home game, is against Crosby and the Pens.
Well, it's a home and away. April 11th, Pittsburgh's last home game is against the Caps and OV. And then on April 12th, Washington is.
They know he's done. They know this is it for Ovechkin. Let's cap it off with OV versus Crosby, one final go. But, of course, what's the future of Sidney Crosby in Pittsburgh, Evgeny Malkin in Pittsburgh, all that stuff, that also plays out.
That also plays into it. But
will that be their final?
They're putting those two on the ice together. Yeah, that makes sense.
And, of course, it's an Olympic year. So in early February, the lights go out on NHL arenas for a total of 18 days. There is an 18-day break.
That's longer than the normal window, right?
It's similar. I think it was 17 for the Vancouver Olympics, but they're going to Italy.
And it's longer than their usual February break because it's the Olympics as well.
So in February, that is also coming up. The NHLers, except for the Russians, are back at the Olympics. As you will see, Leon Draisaitl play for Germany, of course. We'll see some of their best skate
in
Italy.
I cannot wait for the Olympics.
The Olympic tournament begins in early February as one of the breaks for the National Hockey League in the 2025-2026 NHL season. As for a Battle of Alberta, it gets out of the way early. It's the season opener for both the Oilers and the Calgary Flames in a Battle of Alberta to start their season.
Couple of interesting jersey notes for the jersey aficionados, including our Scotty, the producer. The Chicago Blackhawks will wear a centennial edition of their of their home jersey. There's pictures up. It's actually a cool-looking jersey. So they're celebrating their 100th, and then they're bringing back the spoked B for Bruins fans that may remember that from the earlys, from the 80s.
So you also have the Global Series. They'll play in Stockholm, Sweden in November, the Nashville Predators and the Pittsburgh Penguins, and outdoor games January 2nd, Florida Panthers hosting the New York Rangers in Miami outside. And, of course, the Stadium Series. That's the Winter Classic. A Winter Classic in Miami in
There's a great January. Idea.
And then, of course, the Stadium Series in Florida. Raymond James Stadium will host the Tampa Bay Lightning against the Boston Bruins. What are you looking forward to this NHL season? And also, Leaf fans, would you be booing Mitch Marner if you're there January 23rd? Or maybe you're buying a ticket just to go there and boo Mitch Marner. Let us know. 1-877-332-8255. This is the Green Zone on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Hill and Stoney this year at the Four Nations was awesome as well. Just kind of, not just for myself, my wife's side of things, just talking to them about the living style and everything like that as well. And
at the Four Nations face-off, really, Mitch? You were talking about lifestyle in Vegas and, you know, what it's like to play for the Vegas Golden Knights. 4 months before you left as a free agent and declined a trade because you held Toronto hostage to keep you there and then you didn't show up again in the playoffs.
Are you going to boo Mitch Marner if you're in the building as a Toronto Maple Leaf fan? I'm not even a Toronto Maple Leaf fan. I want to boo Mitch Marner.
Dan from Swift Current, I am going to be cheering on Marner 100%. I might even fly to Toronto and pay $500 plus just to cheer him on. So we are getting some support for Marner.
Who's that from?
Dan from Swift Current.
Isn't he a Montreal Canadiens fan?
That's probably why he's going to Toronto to cheer Marner on.
I'm not sure if he is or not. I just would find it funny if it was a Toronto or a Montreal Canadiens fan. Trevor, what kind of reception will Mitch Marner receive when he returns to Toronto? You just stated that they'll play a 1 to 2 minute video. Stop right there. Why would a video be played? What has Mitch Marner won? Definitely not a Stanley Cup. Just because a player was paid a significant amount of money doesn't warrant a video. In fact, I might call the police and have him investigated for fraud or theft because he definitely made out like a bandit from what he received and what the Toronto Maple Leafs and their fan base received. I think Trevor might boo Mitch Marner on his return to Toronto January 23rd. What do you think, Locker? You think that's a boo from Trevor?
I think so. John. Guys, I'm a lifelong Leafs fan, and I, for one, would not boo him because he's human and did not deserve the ridicule. How come nobody hammered Matthews? People did. Nylander, people did. Matthews did nothing. He is paid to score, and Mitch was paid to get the puck to him. What's the difference? Fans are idiots. John.
He said TO fans are idiots. Toronto fans are idiots.
Oh, sorry. I left that part out.
Yeah, Toronto fans, not all fans, just Toronto fans in particular. Idiots.
It is an interesting conversation. You and I, like, certain guys, they jump into the victim pools and they swim around them more readily than others.
LeBron.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a personality type. And sometimes you're not exactly sure what it is about them where they bring on that attention, and it is his. If he has some self-awareness, I think he needs to be a little bit reflective on that part of his personality. As you brought up Babcock, who did Babcock target?
He had Mitch Marner pegged from the start.
It's not exactly. I'm not condoning what Babcock did.
The way he did it was absolutely wrong.
Wrong, but why Marner? Because
he saw
it. Marner.
He saw this young guy who thought he was hot, you know what?
Yeah.
Who needed a reality check, and he wanted to give it to him and give it to him straight. Unfortunately, he tried to shame him in front of his teammates, which was where it went south for Mike Babcock. But he had him pegged as a young man. And then what happened? Mitch Marner got his way. The big bad coach was kicked out.
Didn't
and he brought
help.
In a nice guy in Sheldon Keefe.
Didn't help Marner.
Didn't help.
Didn't help that team. Look at the culture. Still that. They're still swimming around in that culture. Right. Look at Matthews
well,
post
that's what
playoff
Brad
comments.
Brad Treliving said. What is he? He's trying to change the DNA of that team. Mike Babcock tried to change the DNA of that team.
He just
6 years ago
went about it.
He just
may have.
It was close. He was going close.
It was an approach issue.
just the strategy wasn't there for Mike Babcock.